Welcome to Mind the Gap, the podcast that bridges the skills divide with insightful conversations featuring industry leaders, experts, and change makers. I'm Jules, part of the Scoop Climate team. Join us as we explore strategies, ideas, and initiatives reshaping industries across utilities, technology, business, education, and more. We'll uncover experiences that drive inclusivity and skills development, discussing topics like workforce development, mentorship, and the power of diverse perspectives. Whether you're a student, professional, or organisation committed to growth, Mind the Gap is your resource for navigating today's challenges. So let's bridge the gap and unlock limitless potential. Stay tuned for more empowering conversations with trailblazers shaping a brighter future. We're delighted that Kate Lazenby, who serves as the Executive Director of the Pipeline Industries Guild, has joined us today. Kate brings a wealth of experience and dedication to our discussion today on Mind the Gap. Before taking on her current role, Kate was a devoted volunteer within the Guild, serving as DC2 and Chair of the Midlands Branch. Her commitment to the industry has been unwavering. Kate's corporate journey includes her role as an account lead for Costain Group, where she played a pivotal role in supporting the power sector by collating and interpreting business performance data. She excelled in producing, maintaining, and presenting crucial reports to various levels of management. Kate's career path has also seen her hold significant positions in document and information management, contributing her expertise to renowned companies like AMEC, Skanska, Molem, and Siemens. Join us as we delve into Kate Lazenby's insights and experiences in the pipeline industry, her dedication to the Guild, and her contribution to fostering collaboration and a skilled and sustainable workforce. I'd love to start by talking about your career, how you got to the position you're in today, and if there's been any kind of key milestones that you think have really helped the advancement of your career.
Okay, so way back when, I finished doing my A-levels, and probably like many, many youngsters at that age, didn't really know what I was trying to do. I'd made my mind up I didn't want to go to university. I had got the option, but I felt that wasn't for me, and got a job with a local company called AMEC, quite a large construction company, but at the time, in little sleepy Stratford-upon-Avon, my hometown, went along for this role. It was a document control role. Didn't know what any of that was, and ended up being there for a good sort of 4 years and working particularly in the pharmaceutical side of things. So a lot of design and build for pharmaceuticals, so processing a lot of documentation, making sure that the right drawings are going to the right contractors, etc. Pretty much left there and followed my ex-boss at the time. So he moved to a company called Skanska, and they were building the Walsgrave Hospital at the time in Coventry. Completely different kind of building. Was actually working on site with that, so that was really exciting. Wow. Thoroughly enjoyed that, having the whole pressures of teams coming in, needing latest drawings, making sure that you can see it out on the porta cabin windows. They are building, and if they haven't got the right drawings, that has quite an impact. And from a health and safety point of view as well, really key critical method statements, everything was all up to date. So thoroughly enjoyed that role. And then I moved along to Molem, and that was a train care facility. So again, working on site, that was over in Northampton. Got to go walk around trains, not that I'm a train nerd, but I have to say, really did enjoy that. The electrification sort of shoes that trains have underneath their carriages. Okay. So that was one thing that I learned, and learned a lot about a company called WesuRail that did all the portaloos for trains. So very exciting. And then left there and moved into a company called Siemens, and that was to work on the Wormington compressor station. So again, still in that document control sort of space. And for me, that really suits my kind of personality and my attention to detail. I love all that kind of stuff. And then left there and went straight into a local architect firm. So I ended up being office manager for that for about, again, that was probably about 4 years. And that helped me with a whole different kind of range of skill sets. So financial, invoicing, running the actual practice itself, being responsible for the rest of the architectural practice itself. We launched an interior design studio as well. So that was all very exciting. Again, very traditional architects as well. So it was quite interesting with different kind of inspections that they do on churches and very historical kind of conservation architectural sort of practice, which was really good for me. And then I moved to a consultancy business called Reed Group at the time. That was working for National Grid at the time, a very large major infrastructure project. Again, thoroughly enjoyed that. I ended up becoming document control lead for Reed Group at the time. So that basically entailed doing my day job, but also looking after sort of 30 plus consultants. So all within the sort of the technical administrators and document control space. So overseeing the development of people as well, which I really did enjoy. That aspect was great. And then Reed Group got acquired by a large company called Costain. So ended up sort of moving into that sort of space, still doing the document control sort of management side of things. And then later on, I moved into a project coordinator role. So working on behalf of Cadent at the time. It was one of the largest projects to do with diversion of their high pressure pipelines for HS2. Got involved with that. And again, still sort of suiting my kind of skill sets of collating information and making sure people got the right information at the right time. Throughout all of that, intertwined with that, I was a volunteer with the Pipeline Industry Guild. I've been involved with the Guild for probably about 10 years now. So I was a Midland branch chair at the time. I did that for a couple of years. Thoroughly enjoyed the Guild. It was something that outside of work, but you're still sort of liaising with people who've got a similar sort of sense of the industry and just the challenges. And what I loved about the Guild was it didn't matter whether you were in gas or if you were working in the water sector or even electrical telecommunications, it's still got the challenges, still got leakage issues, they've still got technical sort of problems that need to overcome. And actually what I loved about the Guild is it was this platform that enabled that knowledge share. So ended up getting involved with the Guild and then went for the executive director role, which I was delighted to accept. So I've been in that role now, in November will be 2 years I've been in that role, and I absolutely love it. I'm very passionate about the Guild.
And for the listeners that maybe don't know what the Guild is, could you explain that a little bit further, please?
So the Guild itself is a long established membership organisation, and ultimately we have members ranging from large companies such as your Cadence, Severn Trent, and even your larger kind of contractors, Murphy's or United Living, right the way through into what we call sort of bands, so into our sort of lower end bands with one or two sort of consultants. So we fill that whole sort of spectrum of large corporate organisations right the way through to sort of, you know, single sort of customers or clients rather. And they cover all sectors. So again, like I said, water, gas, you name it, they cover all those sort of sectors. And what the Guild sort of strives to do is to connect those people, enables people to network, it enables people to share ideas, best practice, new technologies. Yeah, it just gives an opportunity for everyone to network. So the Guild is sort of trying to make sure that everybody's got a voice and can be heard.
So as you're an exec, a very prominent industry body, what would you say motivates you in that role and helps motivate you to want to make a difference in the industry as a whole?
I'm quite an energetic kind of character and very passionate about this sort of sharing of knowledge and just efficiency. For me, whole continuous improvement sort of cycle and quality management, that to me is a no-brainer. And to be able to then maximise that across this utilities and construction industry is really key. It's a challenging environment at the moment, particularly with net zero and the green strategies that we've got to deliver. We have only got one planet as well. So for me, being in something that is helping, me it's small, but bring people together to be able to share those ideas is just, that's what motivates me.
Obviously big challenges, like you said, big role. What do you do to find the work-life balance? Like, what are your hobbies and personal interests?
So yes.
Is there a work-life balance?
Gosh, yes. Work-life balance, it's interesting for me. Whilst I'm busy at work, I have quite a hectic social life as well. And I'm quite disciplined when it comes to sort of, you know, that 5 o'clock cut-off on a Friday. I do personal training, done wolf runs, numerous wolf runs. I did my other one the other week, which was my 15th.
Oh, you don't have to expand on that. What's a wolf run?
Okay, so a wolf run is a 10K obstacle course. So literally wading through mud, dirty rivers, and climbing over obstacle courses and climbing up the tops of lorries and, you know, abseiling down, that kind of sort of stuff. And I've been doing it for quite a number of years with my personal trainer, and we've got a little group going now. And our motto is we start as a team and we finish as a team. So, you know, everyone's got their own sort of strengths and sort of, you know, challenges. So we all make sure we work as a team. And I love it. And for me, I used to hate exercise at school, not going to lie. It was not my thing. But certainly as I've got older, I understand, you know, being kind to your body and everything in moderation. So for me, that I have an hour each week with my personal trainer, and that to just vent out any stress with perhaps some weights or just doing a bit of rowing, it's perfect.
And another cooperative approach.
Yes, there's a theme.
Yeah, that's actually a theme.
Quite a unique perspective compared to many of our other guests in that you sort of sit across a lot of the utilities industry, not just one sector in particular. What do you find most rewarding about being involved in that sort of position where you see everything? And are there any specific aspects that you're really passionate about?
Ooh, okay. So I think to begin with, for me, actually, I love the fact that I do get to have, I'm quite lucky really, I get to have the opportunity to delve into a bit of the water sector and then dive into the hydrogen and the gas sort of sector. So actually, I love the fact that I get to have the opportunity to be able to sort of touch on each of these sort of sectors, which are so important for society. And so for me, that kind of element of being able to sort of pick up on these different sort of sectors and then be able to turn some of that kind of conversations that are going on in different areas and perhaps bring that back through so coming back to the membership element, our whole sort of organisation is built on volunteers. So we only have 5 members of staff, which is myself included.
Oh, wow.
So we run that literally as a small but mighty team. But then we have panels and we have branches. So they're all volunteers, which is, again, you know, I'm in awe of some of these people that they are engineers, they are project managers and directors in big organisations and small ones. But they then come together for the good of the guild to be able to share their knowledge. So, for instance, last week, our utilities panel held a carbon accounting conference within the water sector. Again, just having these great speakers from all different sort of sections of the water industry coming together to collaborate and bringing some calls to action. There was great energy and passion in the room. And so for me to then be able to go, right, we can facilitate that and then take that and go, well, hang on, let's look at over here. What about the gas industry? I know that with our net zero panel, it's newly formed. Adam, who's from Cadent, super passionate about that panel. And I know Ruta from Scoob, really, really passionately engaged about that net zero. And net zero goes across the whole of the guild. It touches both our branches and all of our panels. Being able to elevate those sorts of people to be able to drive some of these initiatives is just, yeah, I'm very lucky, to be honest.
And it kind of nicely ties into my next question. So again, because you've got that broad overview, are you seeing any other initiatives that other companies are rolling out to help with professional development and career development, particularly with in mind the fact that we've obviously got a bit of a skills gap issue in the utilities industry? Is there anything that you're seeing that you're thinking, yeah, this is going to help with that?
There's lots of little pockets, and I know, without naming too many names, I know that, you know, it's like product placement, but obviously, yeah. You know, there are other industry organisations out there, but very much, you know, Scoob and Sashi and the team instigating the United Action Community Through Learning. Might have got that the wrong way around with the acronym. People hopefully listening to this will then look it up and understand what that's about. So that's a great platform already. You've then got certain sort of corporate organisations, your National Gas, your Cadence, that have got proper sort of graduate programmes and even, you know, apprenticeships as well. So then what we sort of tend to do is we have another panel. It's a panel for everything, really. It's interesting. It's shocking. We have our PDN panel, which is our professional development network. Again, run by, at the moment, chaired by Kyle Ingram from Clancy. He is phenomenal, super energy, and again, bringing some of that technical sort of side to things that I think particularly some of the engineers sometimes will jump into that mindset of trying to solve a problem, but actually bringing everybody together, allowing people to have their thoughts and their opinions about how solutions might sort of work is also really key. And particularly with the PDNs, they are a younger generation, so they know how they work, and I think Scoob sort of touched on this with neurodiverse working mm-hmm. sectors as well. So again, it's bringing these sort of topics to life. So again, I can then help to echo that out back out into the wider industry. So Caden had a technology 2-day workshop. I think that was this year or last year. Time flies when you're having fun. But again, that is amazing, and for me to be able to then echo that back out into the industry and explain what some of these companies are up to is just perfect, because it's then getting everybody talking, it's getting everybody going to go, well, what's that about? And that knowledge sharing is the key to all of this, really.
For the listeners, thank you, Richard. Is it a PDM panel?
Yes.
Is that something that anyone can join? Is it invites? Is it something people in the industry can get involved with?
Yeah, 100%. So the PDNs are anyone under 35 that come into the industry. They're all our members. So if you're working for, found it before, we were at Utility Week Live earlier this year, and we had quite a few sort of people come up to us and say, what's this guild all about? My team are fantastic, and they sort of go through all of the benefits of being a member, and some people don't actually realise that they're members through their own corporate organisations. So some of these larger organisations, and again, this is working closely with their comms teams to make sure that when people are joining, that, you know, when they're onboarding with their organisations, that they're aware that they've got access to this amazing organisation, that they can come in and join our webinars. And we have tons of webinars since COVID. You know, that's really sort of taken off. And a lot of our technical conferences, coming back to the PDM, there's so much to talk about with the Guild. I'm sorry. I get so passionate about the Guild. Branches are regionalised. They have a chair that will run the branch, and then they'll have deputy chairs, and they'll also basically mirror that branch with PDN. So there'll be a Midlands branch PDN rep or a Northern branch PDN rep. Right. The idea being that they can then develop their skills, and it's a real safe space. I was a Midland branch chair, so I've come from that. Yeah. I know what I'm talking about. I know that it's a safe space. You make some amazing connections and friends with some of these people. And for those sort of PDNs that are joining, they're coming through from these sort of larger organisations and having that kind of networking. Again, perhaps sort of talking to people in a totally different sector. And you'll find that, you know, although the world is a big place, actually, this sector is not that big.
Yeah.
And you come across people, and it's great, because there's networks being built. So they're lasting sort of networks and friendships that then start to sort of, 7 years' time, someone might be working in a completely different sort of organisation and coming across people that have been brought together through the commonality of the Guild.
I think as well, that seems to be a theme from the people that we've talked to, almost a utilities theme as well, like community and how people get brought in. Once you're in, it's very family-based, and it just seems to be a really nice element of utilities that I think probably doesn't get talked about that often.
Exactly. Yeah. It is not a scary place.
Yeah.
It is... You know, I know we were talking earlier that perhaps from an EDI, equity and diversification and inclusivity, from that angle, I sit here today and I'm a female and I'm running the Guild, and that's exciting stuff. Yeah. I know that perhaps, I say, through my career, I've always been out on site. So it's a particularly male-dominated industry. Mm. I think from my sort of perspective, it's always been very open-armed, friendly. I've never felt intimidated. But actually, as we were sort of talking before we started this, that perhaps some of that EDI sort of space, and particularly around the gender balance, that I think actually, you know, if I was coming to this industry now, it could be a bit intimidating. Mm-hmm. Some of it is quite male dominated. And what I love again is I've got some fantastic friends that I've made out of this organisation. Mm-hmm. And real support network as well. So, you know, particularly in these sorts of roles, not necessarily lonely at the top, but you do find that, you know, as I say, it becomes slightly more sort of isolated. And for me, I've got some cracking great sort of confidence that I can share ideas and bounce ideas off. And that really helps me in that sort of safe space. And that's been through the fact that I've been part of the Guild for so long. You know, a bit of a plug to anybody thinking about joining the industry, that it's not just boots and dig in on the ground, although that's also quite exciting as well. Yeah. To be honest, I quite enjoy getting out there and being on sites, but it's not just about that. And certainly through technology has to play a part. Technology plays a part in all of our lives. I can't cook now without using Alexa and setting my timer. I don't know where I'd be without Alexa and the timer, probably a lot of burnt food. So for me, there's so much to go at. And hey, I'm sitting here today and I've come from a document control background, which, you know, some people, you know, I'm not an engineer, but I don't need to be. In the role that I'm in, I bring a skill set that allows people to communicate and allows people to network and connect. And that's my objective and my goal.
And it's like you said, going back to when you talked at the beginning about you decided not to go to uni and you came in. So I'm assuming the majority of what you've done is training on the job.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And I love that. I remember I'm part of the guild. It sounds like a broken record here, but the guild, it was back in, I think it was 2016. I won the Ruth Allen Award. Now, Professor Ruth Allen, absolutely phenomenal lady. She is just inspirational. She actually was part of the guild for a long time, and she was one of the, so we've been running for a number of years. We've only had at this point one female chair. So we have exec and the national chair. We've only ever had one female, which was Professor Ruth Allen. Luckily, next year we've got Rachel Bridge from Fisher German. She's going to be our proper national chair for next year, which is fantastic. But that's two females in the course of 60 plus years, which is frightening. And that needs to change. And I'm not into the whole quotas thing because that doesn't drive the right behaviours. But for me, it should be about equal opportunities for everybody. So part of my Ruth Allen Awards, I got the opportunity to have some coaching sessions. And I remember going to my first one and I didn't really know what to expect. And I thought I had to go with like problems and she would solve them. And that wasn't the case at all. So then I started sort of thinking, right, what am I want to get something out of these sessions. These are really important. So what am I going to talk about? So the next session I went along and I was like, right, I need to work out my career. I suddenly had this brainwave that I was like, I'm floating along. I'm not really doing anything with my career. I'm still in this document management space, which I absolutely love. But I'm like, should I be doing more? What's the expectation of society? All that kind of good stuff. So a little bit of a crisis of confidence. Went through this session and sort of said, oh, you know, if I was in the commercial sector, you'd be a junior QS, you'd work your way up to senior, to commercial manager. It's a really nice path. Linear. It's nice and linear. It's really clean.
Yeah.
And the same with project supervisors, etc. And I thought, oh, I don't really know. And what was a proper wake-up call for me was the response was, why do you need a career path like that? And I suddenly went, oh, I don't know, actually. I don't think I do. And, you know, it's about opportunities. It's just about taking those. And I say for me, this industry, the world is your oyster in this industry. You can, and especially with the guild, again, we've got another panel, shockingly, but the international panel, chaired by Kanthi Ford, absolutely phenomenal lady as well. Another real great role model, particularly in the EDI space as well. She is our international panel chair. And we had a fantastic webinar the other day about NEOM, the whole city being built in Saudi Arabia. Just mind blown. super exciting stuff. But again, I think that's the point of this industry, that it's not just UK centric. There's opportunities abroad, and maybe some of these projects are short-lived as well. They're short-term projects, but it's great because you get to build up networks, you get to build up your skill base. And actually, it's okay if you kind of take sidesteps and go over to this area and build up your skills. And I think that is the point, that trying to bring in some of the younger audience into this space, that there is fantastic technology out there, AI, all of that sort of stuff is being brought into this industry, because at the end of the day, we're still humans and we still need utilities, water and lighting and heating are basic needs of human society. So to be able to be part of some of these sort of, the whole change in net zero and being part of that, to me, I just think it's something that you know you're going to look back on in generations to come and be like, well, I was part of that. I was part of turning the green strategy around and making the planet a better place for younger generations to come.
And future-proofing our basic needs, really, yeah, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So that touches nicely on the next question. So do you have a vision of where you see the utilities industry going in the future, particularly because obviously there is talk of a skills gap and we may need to adapt to certain new challenges? Is there anything that you can think, oh, this is headed our way?
As we said before, you know, net zero is playing a massive part, but with that has to come technology. As we said before, technology is a theme throughout all of this. That has to play a part. And we have to get better, I think, at utilising the technology and the data that we've got. I think sometimes we get a little bit bogged down with the data and actually what is it telling us? What can we start to use that information for to make some informed decisions rather than it being necessarily 100% accurate? I think we, as an industry, we've got to get a little bit better at being a bit more quick off the mark. Yeah. But I think for some of perhaps initiatives or the whole sort of transitioning from you know, your fossil fuels and making the planet a sort of a green sort of place is the fact that we're seeing these initiatives now. I don't think there's anything necessarily that's coming out of the forefront. We are talking about things now. I think for me, I'm excited about what it's going to look like in a few years' time with some of these initiatives that we just talked about. So the action communities, we've got our net zero panel, we've had our carbon accounting conference. There are nuggets starting to come out of that. As we keep sort of saying, the key words here, I think, you know, it's like bingo with technology and collaboration.
Yeah.
But those are key. There's an industry collaborative workshop taking place on hydrogen carbon capture. And so, again, it's this collaboration. And I think for me, it's not about what's necessarily coming, but it's about what we're doing right here, right now, and starting to really turn that into action. And let's drive things forward.
And finally, we've been asking all our guests the same question at the end. What advice would you give to your younger self if they were just starting out?
Yes, no pressure. Well, yeah. Well, back in that day, right, crikey. Do you know what? It's about taking opportunities. Don't be frightened. I think Richard Branson, just say yes and you can work out how to do it afterwards.
Yeah.
100% that. Was I an executive director before I got into this role? No. But have I got the skill sets? Absolutely. Mm. And it's about having a little bit of belief in yourself. And for me, I think it's such an exciting time with where we're kind of on this cusp of technology and this collaborative ways of working, that taking those opportunities and take a bit of risk.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Mind the Gap. We hope you've gained valuable insights and inspiration from our conversation today. If you want to stay connected and continue bridging the skills divide, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your favourite platform so you don't miss out on our upcoming episodes, where we'll bring you even more thought-provoking discussions with trailblazers who are shaping a brighter future. Remember, whether you're a student, a professional, or an organisation committed to inclusivity and growth, Mind the Gap is here to guide you on your journey. So, until next time, keep your curiosity alive, keep learning, and keep bridging those gaps. Together, we can unlock the limitless potential within each and every one of us. Thank you for listening to Mind the Gap. See you in the next episode.